Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you ever think that when somebody in the Bible is called to be a prophet, a spokesperson for God, that that person is always thrilled to be called, eager to be called to God's purposes? That wasn't always the case. In fact, many times it was the opposite. This morning, let's remember Jonah, God's most reluctant and successful prophet. The book of Jonah is unlike any other prophetic book in that it contains a short story about the prophet rather than a collection of prophetic sayings. Jonah is full of irony and humor. The author repeatedly undercuts the reader's expectation. Jonah is commanded by God to go in one direction and instead goes the exact opposite way. Ever done that before? The rugged, wild sailors are more devout than the prophet. And Jonah is actually disappointed, upset, when his mission succeeds and the people changed and did what God wanted. I know that's... Can you imagine people just paying attention to the preacher and listening? That's crazy talk, isn't it? Yeah. Maybe you thought the worst thing that can happen to a preacher, to a prophet, is to be ignored, to not be heard by those to whom she or he is speaking. As a preacher, I know what it's like to not be heard, to have people doze through my sermons. I know what it's like for people to miss the point, to ignore my message, resist my words. And that can be tough. Years ago, I was talking with three adults in the narthex of the church I was serving, and we were laughing and joking with each other, and then one of them abruptly said, "Oh, wait, we can't say that. Remember what Paul said in his sermon last week?" And then she went on to talk about what I had supposedly said in my message. To which the next adult, her son, said, "That's not what he said. What he said was..." And he went on to explain what he heard in the sermon. And finally, the third, a college student, the man's son, said, "That's not what he said. What he said was..." And he went on to explain it. And the crazy thing is, all three had been there. All three were highly intelligent people who loved the church, but all three of them were wrong. I went back and actually listened to the tape on what I said. It's hard to be misheard. But let me tell you something that's even more difficult than being misheard. And that is to be heard. To be heard. That's right. If there's one thing worse for a preacher to not be heard, it's to be heard. Really heard. Even though I work on my sermons and use every method in my disposal in an earnest attempt to get you to hear, sometimes it's frightening when you do hear. For there's something deep within me that kind of takes comfort in believing that, well, you're not hearing, you can't hear, that even if you did hear my sermon, well, they probably won't make that much difference in your life. Many times I have preached sermons urging people to do something, say something. Rarely have sermons gotten dramatic results or responses. Usually I get the polite response at the end of the service, "Y'all really told us this time, preacher." But no change in behavior or outlook. Yet I remember many years ago one such sermon where I urged people to follow their dreams. Indeed, spouses support each other's dreams. Be supportive of each other. A few days later, right before choir practice, I learned that one of our key choir members and his family were moving. His wife had been offered a great promotion in another state on the previous Friday, was given the weekend to consider and decide. After hearing my Sunday morning sermon calling people to support their spouses, follow their dreams, and after praying about it, they decided to go, claiming my sermon was a clear sign from God. He would sell his business. The family would move across country. She was going to be our council moderator in a few months. They sponsored our youth group. Their kids were active in all areas of the church and Sunday school. And they were going to be gone. And that scared me. And why did I have to preach that sermon on that particular Sunday? I mean, really. I certainly did want them to follow my advice. But wow, I didn't want them to leave. So do you see what I mean when I say that, well, if there's one thing worse than people not hearing a sermon, it's when they really do. You might be familiar with the story of Jonah, history's most successful and reluctant prophet. But for those who aren't, here's the story of Jonah in a nutshell. A preacher living in the West Valley, the Valley of the Sun, is told by God to preach to ISIS terrorists in Iraq. Now, at first, he refuses, saying, as a respectable person of God, I'm not going to be caught dead in a place like that, among people like them. Yet God kept hounding the poor guy, hardly giving him a moment's peace until the preacher relents, saying to God, well, I'll go if it'll make you happy, but the whole thing's a waste of time, God. Well, in Baghdad, he preaches a short sermon with a bad attitude. He gives the benediction, plans to make a beeline to the airport, head for home. But to his shock and consternation, he can't get out of the auditorium. Scarcely has he given the benediction when all the people rush up to him, tell him they're going to change their ways. They're going to give their lives to Jesus, and they demand to be baptized. Now, how do you think that preacher felt? We say we want change. We claim we believe in the power of God to make all things new, even us. But do we believe it? And how do we feel? How do we really feel when change, real change, occurs? Though we complain about people and the present states of affairs, well, there's something within us that's quite comfortable with the good old predictable status quo. Everything has a place. Everything fits. We know the facts. It's comfortable. We do a good job maintaining the status quo. We know you can't teach an old dog new tricks. We know that the more things change, the more they stay the same. We know that a leopard can't change its spots. There's a common attitude in our society that people almost never, ever, 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 ever change. And that real change, is rare. So I ask, is the reign of God possible? When Jesus comes calling us, wherever we are, to repent, to change down to the very depths of our souls, to start over fresh new, do we believe that's possible for us? Is there really a power let loose in the world which is able to work more than we can think or say on our own? Well, perhaps that's what faith is. Faith is the willingness to be surprised, to be shocked by the surprising intrusion of God's powerful Spirit to change even us. Jonah thought he had faith. Jonah thought he knew exactly what God would do and what God would not do, where God would work and where God would not work, who God loved and who God wouldn't stoop to love. Jonah thought he had it all figured out, nailed down, fixed. Jonah got surprised. And in the end of the story, Jonah's self-interest is contrasted with God's compassion for others, even the people considered enemies of Israel and Judah. That's who those people were. They were the enemies. And Jonah was mad. He was furious that the people he loved to hate changed. He wasn't going to be allowed to hate them anymore. And that's illustrated by the fact he was more concerned over a plant that gave him shade when it died, more concerned about that than the entire population of that great city of Nineveh. But that's Jonah. That's Jonah. That's not us. Maybe we can't relate to that part of the story. I mean, we wouldn't be more concerned about our landscaping than thousands of others gathered at our borders. We wouldn't focus more energy and dollars on a football game than helping our neighbors in need. We wouldn't focus more effort on what restaurant we're going to go to after church than the millions who go hungry today. That's Jonah. That's not us. Jonah got surprised by God, surprised by others, and surprised in himself. So I ask, have you and I got it all figured out? Do we know who is good, who is not? Have we got it all figured out? Finally, many years ago, there were two brothers, and they were convicted of stealing sheep. And in accordance with the brutal punishment of that day, they were branded right on the forehead with the letters ST, which stood for sheep thief. Branding let everyone know who they were. They were sheep thieves. One of the brothers, unable to bear the stigma, tried to bury himself in a foreign land. But people would always ask him about those letters on his brow. What they mean? And he wandered from land to land full of bitterness. He died in a buried, forgotten grave. But the other brother, who repented of his misdeed, didn't go away from his home. He knew running wouldn't work. Instead, he decided to work and win back the respect he had lost. And as the years passed, he established a reputation of respectability and integrity. Well, one day, a stranger came to town, and he saw the man, who had grown quite old by that time, and he noticed those letters branded on his forehead, that ST, and asked a native of the town what they signified. After thinking for a while, the villager quite seriously said, "It all happened a long time ago, and I've forgotten all the particulars. But I think the letters are the abbreviation for saint." I wonder, in your life, in my life, where are the areas upon which we have come to a final decision, fixed, settled, concluded? Who are the people we've branded in some fashion? Are there people we've given up on, closed the door upon, turned away from? Because, well, we've lost faith that they'll ever change. Indeed, have you given up on yourself? Oh, keep assuring yourself, oh, people don't change. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. The more things change, the more they stay the same. A leopard can't change its spots. Keep telling yourself that God isn't able to do a truly new thing among us. Keep doing that, and you might be just like Jonah and in for some really big surprises. Indeed, the biggest surprise of your life. With God, all things are possible, even for reluctant prophets like you and me. With God, all things are possible. Say that in your heart. Enact that in your words and deeds.